Okay, welcome everyone to the March 2020 edition of our Tennis Evolution Plus coaching calls. I see familiar faces. Well, I don't see your faces, but I see names that are familiar. I also see new names that are on the call. This is a chance for everyone to tap into my 40 years of playing the game, playing it at all levels. So this is your chance to ask questions. You get this opportunity every month. You can send videos in. You can ask questions. There's a lot of you out there that might be shy and you don't want to show your videos, or you don't want to speak up or type in the chat box. But honestly, be selfish here. This is your time. This is your hour to really get your questions answered and figure out a way how to get better at your game. And hopefully I might be able to sprinkle in a few life lessons that can help you navigate the challenges that are going on in our world today and life in general. I'm passionate about coaching, whether it's a tennis on the tennis court or helping people with their performance and their mindset. So with that being said, I feel for everyone going through this. This is a very challenging time. We're in this together. I appreciate that I have such a strong tribe at Tennis Evolution to lean on. The emails that I get, the questions that I get, they obviously inspire me every day to move the needle forward. And so if any of you have questions or ideas or ways that I can help you, feel free to also send me a private email to jeff@tennisevolution.com. You can just email me and ask me any questions you have about anything you're dealing with this situation or with your tennis. So I'm here to help, here to support. The first thing that I want to talk about tonight, and make sure again, if you're coming on the call, that you're muted, because there'll be some background noise. I'll try to catch it if I hear some. The first thing I want to start with tonight is I want to start with things that we can do to get better during this time where we can't get on the courts. Some of you are still getting on the courts to hit serves, to work on your game. Maybe you're still playing with people. There's some gray area about social distancing. I can tell you what I'm personally doing right now. And I also realize I'm not a tennis guy. I'm not playing tennis as much as many of you now as I'm running this business. I am staying away from all people. Okay. So some of the resources that I watch, there's a lot of conflicting information out there. I can send you a link to the person that I follow every day who comes out with a 40-minute YouTube video that explains the math and the statistics and the exponential growth that can happen if we don't do what we're supposed to do. So I've been asked to give lessons. I have said no. I think that this is me doing my part. So I am holed up in my girlfriend's house. We are together. But I am not seeing any other humans. I am not going to stores. I am not interacting with people in person. So you have to do what's best for you. But, my advice would be to just do this if you can. Question, do you have any insight on how long viruses last on tennis balls? They seem to be the most common possible vector. I don't. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how all of this works, but, I don't want to take any chances. Now, am I going to get corona if I hang out with people? Honestly, probably not. I work with a health care practitioner. I see her every 4 to 6 weeks. She can even do distance sessions with me. It's pretty cutting edge stuff. I've been seeing her for 12 years. I mean, my immune system is like at the top of the top. So like, even if I hung out with people, I'm probably not going to get it. But here's the thing. Let's say I do get it and I'm asymptomatic. I don't want to hang out with people and possibly pass it on. So I'm just trying to do my part. And I was giving a lesson up until, I think it was a little over a week ago. And then as I started researching it more, I said, you know what, I'm just not even going to deal. I'm out in the suburbs. I'm not even near cities where I live downtown. But I would just be better to be safe than sorry right now. Idea for safe tennis player for singles was wondering if you and your opponent brought their own balls with your name written on them. Only serve with your own balls don't touch the server's balls. Just flip the balls over with your racket. Asked an she thought it was an interesting idea. Yeah, I mean, that's, Brian, that sounds reasonable, honestly. That's creative. It's innovative. It's out of the box. So good for you. Just don't touch other people's balls. I know you guys can't laugh because you're muted, but, you know, I just had to make some light of the situation. Anyway, yeah, there's an LOA. I should add that she is an epidemiologist by degree, not profession. Yeah, okay. All right, so that could be the hashtag, don't touch their balls, and you guys can play tennis, all right? So we have some serve questions. This is fascinating. Again, you know, we have more people on the call tonight than probably I've ever had. There's probably a reason for it. I'm always fascinated by that we have hundreds of members and yet they don't take advantage of this hour. So good for you for being here. Let's get into best practices for training. And again, just keep typing in the questions. I'll get to them when I hit a break. I am drinking my Topo Chico, my sparkling water tonight. That is my happy hour drink of choice. I've been alcohol free for over a year now. I think it's an amazing choice to help people with their health and their performance. Obviously, a couple drinks a week is not going to set you back, but alcohol free is a huge nutrition hack, mindset tip that I can give. Okay, training. So, quick story. Two stories. I probably practiced my serve more than any human being on the planet for a decade. From the age of, 19 to, well, I'd even say 19 to 30. Yeah, 12 years maybe. I don't think anyone practiced their serve more than I did. I don't think anybody hit to more targets than I did. So when you think about how you can get better, the first thing to do is go to that darn tennis court with your balls, okay? You don't have to put your name on it if you're alone, and hit serves, okay? And send those darn videos in to me. And next month, I will give you your analysis and I'll tell you what tweak you need to make on your serve. I have a client that I work with and I'm going to show her video. She's doing that. She puts her serve. She's got a tripod. She does her serve. She sends it to me. And she started doing this a couple months ago. And she's been my client for a couple of years. And I have told her, she lives in town. I give her a lesson once a month or so. And I told her in between lessons, you should really send me videos so I can tweak things. And she resisted it for a long time. And now she's sending me the serve videos. And I would think that she would say that, wow, I didn't realize that I wasn't working on this thing, or I didn't realize I need to focus on this instead. It's the little tweaks that I can help you all make. So start by hitting serves, okay? Now, there's two different ways to work on your serve, okay? So take notes on this, or again, watch the recording when we're done. There's two different ways. Number one is to focus on technique. And if you really want to change your technique, I advise you not to serve over a net. Serve into a fence. So do your drills and work on things without looking at the result of the ball. So if you were to serve every other day, let's say it's actually every day because you have time on your side right now. You go out 6 days a week, and three of those days you work on technique, okay? 15 or 20 minutes. And then the second way to work on your serve is to work on the serve that you have right now and optimize it with how you aim. So manage it. In other words, put your targets down and see if you can hit your spots and be mentally engaged. Don't try to change your backswing and your trophy position and also try to hit your target. Create almost a separate workout for your serve. You have your mindset and your target practice, and you have your technique, and they are broken up into separate different workouts. And yes, you can blend them together. You could do 15 minutes of technique and 15 minutes of mindset and targets. But when you're practicing your serve, when it's mindset and targets, are you bouncing the ball the exact number of times that you do in a match? Are you pausing? Are you taking a deep breath? Are you going through your rituals? Because that is part of the practice too. So set aside time to work on targets and set aside time to work on technique, but don't try to blend them together more than 5 or 10% of the time. You can spend some time where you work on your trophy position or your toss and aim to targets, but I wouldn't try to do all of it because that can create overwhelm. Okay, serve is number one. Number two, footwork patterns. So the first story was that I hit more serves. I would prep and at Stanford, I would go out before our matches. Let's say we were playing UCLA or USC or Fresno State. The match is at 1:30. The warm-up's at 12. I would go out at 11:40 and hit 20 minutes of serves before I warmed up for the match. Or I would warm up at 11:30 to 12, and then I'd hit my serves from 12 to 12:20 alone. No one around, no coaches, no players. So I did that on the pro tour. I'd fly into a city, I'd buy 25 balls, I'd go to my court, and I'd work on my serve. My serve was my baby. I've got that lesson in Serve Fundamentals Unlocked. It's called The Serve is My Baby. Watch that lesson and watch the targets lesson in Serve Fundamentals Unlocked so you can see what targets to aim. You want to be hitting through lanes, not really tight, difficult targets. You want to hit through lanes and you want to build your confidence hitting through lanes. Story number two. Living in Palm Springs, California at 28 years old, living with a girlfriend at the time, very hot there, 120 degree weather, nobody to practice with in summer. I was coming off of an injury. I would go to the local public park, no country club. I'm not a country club guy, by the way, in case you were wondering. No country club, no exclusive racket club. I'd go to the park and I'd go through my footwork sequences. I would go through my patterns. I'd go through my ground stroke to an approach. I'd go my approach to a volley. I'd go my serve. Now, serve to a volley or serve to a forehand. Now, are you going to do the footwork exactly right? Probably not. But, and I'm going to bring up something to share here. I got to find a couple things here. So I'm going to share here. So baseline footwork secrets. Broken into three phases, the preparation phase. So the preparation phase is how do you move to the ball? How do you split step and how do you move? I think you guys and gals could watch these lessons to learn to start practicing these movements. You don't need a ball. Honestly, it would be better if all of you tried to master these techniques, these movements during this break, during this forced break, and then go on the court and see what happens. So many situations where I've done shadow stroking for a month and I go on the court and I'm moving like a gazelle, moving better than I've ever moved before. I'm going to move the light here. Our makeshift green room here with bull horns. Okay. Preparation, the hitting phase. What do you do when you're hitting the ball? Recovery phase, how do you recover? So if I go into here, I'm a big fan of holding the finish. So this video right here, just hold it. I talk about holding the finish after the swing and being balanced before you recover. Most coaches are going to tell you to recover really fast to the middle. I'm going to tell you to be really balanced on the shot you're hitting and that you have more time than you think to recover. Okay? So the cross behind move, the crossover move, right? The don't rush it, don't rush back. The where do I recover to? I mean, watch these lessons and then go out on the court and hey, it gets even better because if you haven't downloaded the Tennis Evolution app, okay, all these lessons are in the app for you. So you go on the court with your phone alone. You can put some music in if you get bored, can't talk to anyone. And you start watching these footwork videos. But it gets even better because you can look at the footwork patterns I have for the forehand and the backhand. And then you get down here to shadow stroke workouts. I got 3, 6, 9, 12 shadow stroke footwork exercises and a workout guide. It's all in the app as well. I downloaded a few of them right here. I actually show the videos with a student. All right, so look at this. Shadow stroke workout, 20 seconds, switch to square up footwork pattern, 20 seconds rest. So it looks like I'm just doing, oh, it's shadow stroke to square up. So I move back and I move up and square up. I move back and I move up. So here's an example. Square up. And you don't need to set a timer. You could just do a set of 3 or 4 or 5. You can do it for conditioning, or you can do it for quality of movement. See, that a smooth pace to get it down instead of rushing. So rinse and repeat on that. Shadow stroke inside out to inside in. So you can work on running around your forehand. I teach the precise movements here. Okay, I break it down. I teach it. I show it. I mean, this is where the growth can happen during this time. Here's square up to backhand defense. You ever have to move back on your defensive backhand? Okay. They're all right here, your workouts, your movement. So you can literally study all of the footworks and create your own workout, or you can just follow the ones I have in this program. Now, So footwork, I'm going to come back to you all and I'm going to look at the questions. So let's start at the top. Lindsay, the hands working down together and up together on the serve, talking about Pete Sampras and Roger Federer as examples. Does the tossing hand leading upward before serving hand have to do with the shoulder tilt and the cartwheel effect? We spoke earlier this week about this. Okay. So Lindsay, yes, appreciate your email. Here's the thing. rarely, if ever, teach people the cartwheel effect. If people understand how to load properly and get into a proper trophy position, the cartwheel should happen naturally. Does the tossing hand leading upward before the serving hand have to do with the shoulder tilt? I feel like if you lead with the tossing hand, okay, if you knock something over, if you lead with the tossing hand, and you get the toss up correctly and the arm is down here, it's going to naturally create the tilt. So I don't know if I'm answering that part of the question. But the thing that I'm concerned with is the hands together, working down together, up together. The way I interpret it is that literally the arms are moving at the same time. So when I always look at the release point, where is the racket when the ball is released? And a lot of times I see people already with the racket up by their ear or by their shoulder as they're releasing. So they're bringing the arms up like a conductor. That's down together, up together. So I stay away from that. For me, that's the myth. That's the mistake. So what you need to do, and I have a 3/4 drill that I will pull up here while we're on this call, but I would do the 3/4 drill. And basically what's going to happen is you, instead of a full motion, you have the racket hanging I'm going to stand here, hanging by the side of your back foot here, and you toss the ball. And as you toss the ball, that's when the arm starts to come up. And so, yes, does the dominant arm start to move up as the tossing arm is moving up? Yes. So if you want to call that up together, that's great. But it's always, not always, but 98% of the time, it's lagging. The dominant arm is lagging as you bring this up. So if you look at, I can pull up my serve real quick, because I'm probably, I have closer to a modified version compared to some other players. Let me share my screen. Okay, screen shared. My serve as a righty. All right, so let's watch. Okay, so let's watch. So I'm moving my tossing arm. And this is what whenever I analyze a video, so if you're a coach or if you want to help another player, video their serve from the back like this. Okay, this is a big tip here. And watch, look at where the racket is and what it's doing at the release point of the toss. Not a trophy position, not any earlier, right when the ball is released, where is the racket? And you'll see Sampras down by the back knee. You'll see Federer with a straight arm coming back, but it's lower. It's down here. The reason mine is higher is because I bend my arm. I go to elbow to the enemy faster than most because I like to get into that throwing position. Now, this to me is not down together, up together, because look, as I'm releasing the ball, is my racket coming up as I release the ball? Yes, it is, but it's lagging behind. It is not. Most people are up by the shoulder at this point in the motion. And that's how I differentiate down together, up together versus not doing it. I am focusing on I always keep my racket behind, my racket arm behind my tossing arm. So I keep it lower. And then I'm focusing on my turn, on my elbow, the enemy. And that just gets me into a nice trophy position very easily, very simply. I liken this motion to a filet mignon. We are just trimming the fat off. Trimmy, trim, trim. Trim that fat off. We don't need all the extra herky jerkies and the dropping of the elbow and the opening of the waiter tray. We don't need any of that. Just nice and simple. Boom, boom. Again, if someone gets there, but they're bringing it up together, then you just force them to delay that hand with a three-quarter serve. Great question. Agree with your points, answered my question, and we're on the same page now. Boom. That's the power of the Zoom coaching calls. I love it. Because Lindsay, here's an example. Lindsay sends me the email, and he's probably a little confused or wondering what I'm talking about. He's a coach. He's a high-level coach, you know, and he's wondering what I'm saying, and I'm trying to explain it in an email. It's not understood, but now we communicate. This is why we get on these calls, so I can explain and explain how I see it, and it's about going back and forth like this. Awesome stuff. Brian Smith, is there a progression that helps with serve timing? One half serve, three quarter serve, but maybe even more granular. So hold on a second. I'm gonna close my door because some people are about to come back into the house. You won't hear it because I got my headphones on. But So Brian, we're talking about the one half, three quarter serve, but maybe even more granular. So I'm not exactly sure what you mean by more granular. So that's unclear. Maybe you can help me understand what you mean by that. But is there a progression with the timing? So Brian, this is a great example. Put you on the spot. You should send a video in to me so I can see what your rhythm looks like. Because yes, I'm going to give you a blanket general answer, but if I see your serve, I'm going to say, do this and do this. It's just when you've been studying something for so long, it's almost like innate. You just see it. It's just part of the deal. It's like the 30,000 hours of training. I just see it. And so with the progressions, one, I need to see, do you delay the hand or are you a down together, up together? Do you open the palm of the racket? Do you have a low elbow? The general answer is, is there a progression that helps with serve timing? I would start with the half serve because you're here, you're set in position, but here's the caveat. What if you do the half serve, but you're not set in the right position? What if you're back in here? What if you're here? What if you're here? What if you're here? That's why you need to send a video in so I can say, hey, you got to tweak this. But the half serve is going to help because now you don't, people's rhythms get thrown off when they go with the full motion. So the full motion, it's like something happens at the beginning of the motion where people get thrown off. Their arms go straight. They don't turn. Their elbow is down. They open the palm. But if you set the racket right here as if someone's throwing a ball, it's easier to find the rhythm. Bryant, the continuous serve drill will also help with rhythm and timing. You should have access to that actually in the Serve Fundamentals Unlocked. I would check that one out. But invariably, when I give a lesson, 80, 90%, 90%, 100% of the time, I'm in the half serve. I'm in the three quarters because I know the serve breaks down in the first 6 inches of the motion. It's pretty rare that someone has a great beginning of their motion and then it totally breaks down. I shouldn't say rare, but with higher level athletes, higher level players that are in college and pro, okay, you may see some funky stuff up here when it looks okay at the beginning. But most of the time, things are breaking down at the very beginning of the motion. So I eliminate that variable and I get people up here and I get them understanding how to turn, how to load their legs in this position. Okay. Can you review the rationale behind avoiding the up together serve motion? I think it's all about racket momentum, but just want to confirm. Tim, fabulous question. There is a lesson in Serve Fundamentals Unlocked in that course, again, in the app, online. And we talk about what happens when you go up, the things that can go wrong. But of course, I'm going to answer now. So when you bring your arms up together and you reference the momentum, there is a chance that when you get the arms up here too early, this arm right here, the dominant arm, it has to go someplace where it's waiting for the ball to come down to make contact. So there's only two things that can happen. If you get here too early and you're waiting for that ball, what are the two things that can happen if you're here early? Go ahead and type it in the chat box. So you get here early, the ball's up, you're waiting to make contact. Two things that can happen. You park it. So I think what that means is you just go straight. You don't move your arm. So you could create a hitch. So the hitch, and then you have to start the motion over from here. So there's really no point of getting here early, stopping, and then swinging again. What's another thing that can happen when you get here early? If it doesn't move, it's got to go somewhere. Okay, rush and collapse the front side, yes. Number two, let it drop down. See, Tim, you asked the question, you should be teaching the course. Yes, if it gets here early, it's got to go somewhere so it drops right in here. Whoop. Right in here. We don't want to be here when we serve, but it's got to go somewhere if it's going to keep moving. So I've seen a lot of players get up in here and then they just settle right into here. Now, if someone doesn't understand how to use their lower body when they serve, if they don't know how to load, if they don't know how to push off, then they're going to serve with their upper body and they're going to serve with their arm, which that would be a reason why they would go down together, up together, because they're just using arm. Okay, instead of using shoulder and hip and core and understanding that. Now, believe me, I take the lower body out and the core out pretty much, like all of that out to get this motion more natural. But even by me doing this, we're still turning, we're still swinging up to the ball. There's some rhythm to the legs. Like it's still a coordinated total body movement. And most people don't know how to use their lower body correctly when they serve, so they just default and it becomes an upper body swing. Great question. I delay the hand, trouble with knee bend and hip leaning into court with the toss. When they get coordinated, I'm serving in the 90s with great topspin, up to 96 miles an hour comfortably. Yeah, so Brian, that makes sense. I mean, you're delaying. You're having a hard time with the hip. I would say 99% of the population struggles with the movement of the hip at the trophy position. And I'm going to see if I can find the exercise that can help you all with this. So let me see. Oh, this is great. Okay, so everybody, watch this. This is a 45-second video. Let's watch this. So what happens is when people try to shift their hip forward or get the hip out over the baseline, invariably they lose all the load in the back leg. But then if they try to stay on the back leg, they might end up squatting. So it's this really difficult, challenging movement where you have to get your hip to elevate and go forward, but still keep the weight on the back foot. And I've got exercises that teach this that you can do every day right now. If you want access to these exercises, I will put them into your app. So what I need from you all is I would need you, if you want them, just email me at jeff@tennisevolution.com and send me your email and say, you know, I want the hip exercises for the serve. All right, so we got to make sure whoever's on the call, we are muted. Yes, thank you. Awesome. This is just a fantastic call tonight. I'm really pumped. The coordination happens magically, sometimes in practice and sometimes in matches, like to make it more repeatable. You've got to do more corrective exercises off the court, away from just, oh, it was good one day and not the next day. To really, you have to get into your body and understand it. There's a body awareness to this that has to be practiced over and over again. So, Brian, if you want those exercises, email me at jeff@tennisevolution.com. I will park those four videos into the app, and you can watch them and you can study them. You have to learn, even if you have a pinpoint stance, you've got to learn how to load your back leg anyway. Okay, most people don't load their back leg very well. Now, with that being said, a lot of you go on these tangents where you start working on something and it's not the highest leverage thing for your game. So yes, do I want you to work on your hip hike on your serve? Maybe for one player, yes. But for another player, it might be, hey, you got to do your half serves. You know, let's work on your mental game and how you're thinking about the game instead of your serve technique. So it's really understanding the high leverage points to pick to help you become a better player. I see too often players are picking the wrong things to work on and they're wasting a lot of time. So I want you to give some thought about how you're losing matches. Ask yourself that question. How do I lose matches? What are the strokes? What's breaking down? And most people are missing too many returns of serves. Now, you can't practice your return right now unless you're playing with your own balls and someone else has their own balls, okay? But you can do the footwork patterns and you can do the techniques that are in this, you know, the serve return fixes course. There's information in that course as well. There's also inside the success journey too. Let me go back and answer more questions. I had a lot more to share tonight. I'll see if I can go a little bit over. I have another coaching call after this. So I don't know how long I can go, but I did plan on talking. I'll try to summarize and go through some things because I want to give you ideas about how you can be training. Also, if you think that I should create some type of home workout program, let me know. You can put in the chat box right now. You could just type in home workouts, please, or workouts, please. I've been thinking about if I can do that, put something together. Maybe I'll just film it all in this room, in the quarantine room here. okay. All right. I'm struggling with serve like racket drop and pronate. I tried to use a continental grip, but it does not come up smoother. Let's see. Got to mute. Who do I have to mute? Okay, you got muted. All right. So I'm struggling with serve like racket drop and pronate. I tried to use a continental grip, but it does not come up smoother as you show in serve drills. How to develop the rhythm like the racket drop and pronate and hit flat slice for add deuce side. All right. So I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here. I'd like to also provide some inspiration. The serve is one of the most difficult shots to change with technique. I always admire people that have the desire to want to change their serve, but I always preface it by saying you're opening up a can of worms. And so my last concept that I mentioned was like, okay, I know you want to change your technique, but is that the high leverage point? Is that the thing that's going to help you get over the top? If the answer is yes, then continue with your process. Now, these questions right here, struggling with racket drop, struggling with pronation, having a hard time with the continental grip, and then now develop rhythm like racket drop and hit flat and slice serves. Right there, there's a four concepts, four or five. What I would do is I would say, okay, send me a video. I'll look at it and I'll talk about it next month. But send me a video. And what I'll do is I'll tell you the one thing you need to do right now and avoid everything else. Now, if you struggle with racket drop, it's because you're not using a continental grip. So you literally have to teach yourself a new movement pattern with the correct grip. And you have to start here and you have to learn a completely new swing path. And you don't even think about pronation, racket drop, where you're going to hit the ball, add or deuce. And it's going to take months, okay? If you don't have a continental grip, it's going to take a long time. Now, I don't want to discourage you, but I just want to be – my job is to be inspirational but also give you the real truth, okay? I'm not going to sugarcoat it and just tell you, oh, next week you're going to have it. Some people, concepts click right away. I've had people have breakthroughs in 24 hours or less. But at the same time, if you're trying to change a grip, that can be tough. But break it down into little parts, start up with the half serve. And honestly, if you want to learn the proper swing path, I would study my dirty diaper video. Study the dirty diaper and learn how to hit a topspin serve. And just do that for months and months and months and keep sending me videos and I will keep helping you tweak it. Okay, this is from Christy. How can I work on seeing the court better without being on the court during this time? Wow, that's a powerful question. And it takes me to the next concept. Thank you, Christy. Let's talk about the winning edge, okay? The winning edge. Now, this is one of my mastery courses that I'm pulling up right now. It's called The Winning Edge. I am actually launching it next week. I'm going to be giving three free videos out next week. And we're relaunching this. We've launched this before. And then I sell it on the second week. Now, this product sells for $397. It's my highest price product. Why do you think I priced The Winning Edge as my highest price product? It's kind of weird. Like, why would I mean, 309, my highest product after before that was 197. This is $397. There's a reason I do it. Okay. I do it, and I can't see the chat right now. So if you're answering, sorry, I can't see it. I do it because number one, I want to see who's really serious about their mental game. And number two, the mental game is the most important thing. The mental game, how you see your tennis, how you see your improvement and growth, how you go about getting the right coaching and the right mindset, how you eliminate negative people from your life, how you navigate your way through the corona crisis. Priceless. Navigate through the corona crisis, how you do it is priceless. Okay? I didn't even know I could rhyme, but when I get worked up and I drink lots of Topo Chico, the jokes start flowing, even if they're bad jokes. So The Winning Edge is coming out next week. If you're a Tennis Evolution Gold member, you do not have access to this course. So I give 14 courses, Tennis Evolution Plus. But here's what I'm going to do. Anybody that wants this course that doesn't have it, I'm going to give a significant discount to you because you're committed, because you're on the call, because you want to get better. So you can email me at jeff@tennisevolution.com, say, I want The Winning Edge, and we're going to work something out. Okay. I got to get you this content. But getting back to Christy's question about how can I see the court better? So, one, I would peruse. There's a lot of stuff in here that isn't going to necessarily help you see the court better, but it will, if you peruse, I want you to pick out some concepts. So the first module is awareness. If you improve your self-awareness, you will improve your intuition and you will improve your ability to see the court. Self-awareness. So just becoming more aware can help you see the court differently. You'll see more possibilities. Acceptance is the next concept in The Winning Edge. And I don't know who's drawing lines on my laptop, but whoever's doing that, I feel like the New World Order is crashing my computer. The global state that's making us stay in our homes is watching me right now, and they're writing on my, this is incredible. Someone's writing on my, this is amazing. Okay. Anyway, acceptance. If you judge yourself on the court, you are clouding your vision. You are clouding your ability to see the world. So I would watch the lesson on judgment. I would watch the lesson on point of view and perspective. On caring too much, those would be some good ones to watch. The action module. I'm going to see if I see anything here that jumps out. I don't really see anything when it comes to seeing. The Effit James McGee Pro case study, that'd be a good one. Trigger words and phrases would be a good one. Thinking in images would be a good one because quick story was at one time had a short little stint where I was, I don't even know if it was dating, but like spending time with Amanda Kutzer, who got to 4 in the world. And I spent time with her, and me being curious, I asked her, I mean, I'd never got past 100 in the world. She got to 4 in the world. I'm like, what do you do? She's like, I think in pictures. So a lot of you are thinking in words out on the court and you're overanalyzing and overthinking and your mind is clouded. You've got to start opening your mind and not thinking as much and getting in your body and actually seeing where you want the ball to go and creating images on the court. So this is like getting your brain to change. It's actual neurochemistry. But the original question, how do I see the court better? Those are some ideas initially. Now, another thing you can do, Christy, and to the group is, I stole this from Sterling Struther, it's called ball player. So when the ball, and I know Christy, you probably know this, when the ball comes to you, you say the word ball. And then when the ball comes away from you, you say player. Because here's what you all are doing. When you hit the ball back to the opponent, you are actually focusing on the ball. You're judging your shot. So you've got to get off of the ball you hit. And you have to focus on the person on the other side of the net. Where are they standing? How are they moving? And this is a skill that has to be practiced. But you start by saying ball player. Why do you say that? It increases your awareness of what you're actually doing. You're going to notice that even when you say player, you're still going to be tracking the ball. Now, you'll be tracking the ball naturally, even when you're focusing on the player on the other side of the net. But you have to create this wider range, this wider perspective of the court instead of this myopic, it's the ball in you. There's a bigger thing happening out on the court than just the ball in you. There's your opponent and how he's moving and what kind of shot he's hitting. So I just, that would be a great place to start. Now, Christy, what I would do, and I would actually also listen to the game ready audios and create pictures in your mind of like, basically see yourself seeing the ball, see yourself reacting quickly, see yourself knowing where the ball is going to go ahead of time, the intuition. Your brain and your subconscious will start to develop that skill for you. And if you did those three things, if you watch these lessons, okay, and then you did the ball player, and then you did the game ready, and you could really visualize, really make the focus of you seeing the ball early off the strings and reacting and knowing where the ball, if you made that the focus of the meditation, the visualization, you did that for 30 days or 60 days or 90 days consistently, I believe you're going to see a difference. Great question. Another thing is look at your practice schedule. So are you hitting a lot? Are you competing a lot? I think a lot of people lose the ability to see the court because they take too many lessons and they take too many, too much on the ball machine where they're just standing and not reacting. So it dulls your senses. It dulls your ability to react. I think people are lessonized. They are taking too many lessons. They're ball machineized. They're hitting on the ball machine too much. And yes, I think it's good to groove a stroke, but know that when you do that, you're robbing yourself of the reactivity that's a part of the game of tennis. All right. Home workouts. Christy wants them. Okay, great. Christy was the only one that wants home workouts. So Christy, I'll probably just make you a 6-week workout. How about that? Would love to see some way to have some serve contests online. Srini wants them. Bryant wants them. We want them. Okay, cool. Awesome. So I want it as well. Oh, now see Christy open the floodgates. Of course, the home workouts. All right. Now you need to tell me what home workouts do you want? Do you want, like, how long do you want the workout to be? Do you want it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? How long do you want them to be? And do you want just footwork as a workout and then just strength? Or do you want me to combine all elements? Tell me what you want to see as you're typing it in. Okay. Is there a package that includes all of your courses? Yes, I have a platinum package that gives you access to everything. And I have like 30 courses. We're also going to be releasing more courses this year. It's just with Corona and a lot of other stuff, I'm behind by a couple of months. We have my first full doubles course coming out. We have another course on strategy coming out. And we have another course on the secrets of Spanish tennis, Nadal style. I teamed up with a guy who studied under Uncle Tony. So I'm getting a lot of his insight on how they train Nadal and other Spanish players. So three of those courses in the next 12 months. So Tim, if you want everything, email me and I'll get you. I don't advertise the platinum package. I probably should. We're going to get there. By the way, on that note, it's only taken me like 5 years, but we are moving to a new platform next week, provided we don't have one more glitch. If you knew how many glitches I've had and how many challenges I've had with technology and the platforms and the memberships and the logins, I know you guys are annoyed with the multiple logins. Well, guess what? Next week, it's one login for you all. You get all of your content in the login and in the one dashboard. Gosh, this is going to be so good. I'm so excited. So I hope you guys enjoy the new platform that's coming your way. But yeah, Tim, just email me and I can tell you the platinum has everything in it, and we'll go over that. Lou says, how to get most out of your practice with a very basic ball machine. So what I would do, I would start with shadow strokes in the beginning before to work on your technique. And then with the ball machine, if it's very basic, I'm sure it can oscillate maybe side to side. You could do that like side to side where you're changing. I don't know if it can do any type of random, but I would do random. But if it's just totally basic and it's coming out in one spot, you're just going to work on your technique, your finish, and your targets. You're going to work on your first move. You're going to work on your follow through, and you're going to work on your targets. and you can send it a video if you want of you doing it so we can, so I can break it down for you and help you get better with that. Ramp us up 30 to 60 minutes combination. I want 1 hour footwork and technique. Ramp us up. Balance. Good. Okay. Great. This is awesome. I'm looking at the questions, Yuri. I'm going to get your question about the video you sent tonight. I'm going to be sharing your video. So if you're okay with me sharing it, type in share the video because I'm about to expose you to the world with your training. Don't worry. I'll be supportive. I'm looking at if I missed any other questions. Yep, I got them all. So we got them all. Share both of them. Okay. Yuri says share them. If you guys want to see Yuri doing his home workout, type in yes with an exclamation point. Okay, this is the last thing we're going to do before I wrap it up. Actually, it'll be the second to last thing I do. But type in yes if you want to see Christy, Colin. Awesome. Okay, let's see if I can find these videos. Big yes. Everyone wants to see Yuri. This is Yuri Exposed right here. We don't even have to go to the National Enquirer. We can call it Tennis Evolution for the Yuri Exposed drills. Here we go. Let's see it. He's coming up. I'm pulling the videos up. First of all, Yuri, man, I love you, man. Just like kudos to you, Yuri. Met Yuri about 3 years ago. He was following another online coach. I did a thing with this online coach. He saw the video. He said, man, I kind of like this Jeff dude. And he emailed me. I think he emailed me and we got hooked up and he's come to a couple of my live events. And he is just so passionate. And I just love Yuri because he wants to get better, just like all of you. He sends in the videos. The screen is being shared. And here we are in the basement. We go to the basement because we are quarantined and we're going to find a way to get better. So Yuri wants to know how he can improve his footwork, how he can improve his fitness, how he can improve his balance. All right, so let's look at this right here. All right, so he's jumping over and he's doing back to front, okay? And he goes back. And he jumps over and back to front, back and over and back to front. And he does that over and over again. Now, of course, before I answered Yuri, I emailed him. I said, where'd you get this drill from? Okay. And he told me he got it from Dominic Thiem's trainer, fitness trainer, Douglas. I don't know his last name, Douglas. And he trains Thiem and Fognini. Two guys, top 10 in the world. Guy knows what he's doing. He lives in Miami. And he does a lot of out of the box. You should check out Douglas Fitness Trainer on Instagram. Does a lot of cutting edge stuff and a lot of great stuff. And obviously the results speak for themselves. That's the positive. Let me give you the not so positive. The challenge is that when you are a club player, you're not a professional, it's hard to know what to do that the pros are doing that can make it efficient for you. And so I love that I got this video for Yuri because what I want to do is show you how I would do it differently, okay? How it could be more efficient, how it could be better. So what I love about it is that Yuri didn't just ask me for a program. He actually tried something and sent it to me. Instead of me just giving him the program, he's trying. So that means he's engaged. His brain is thinking about how he can get better. He's looking for ways. This is the type of student I prefer. I don't like to just be the guy that says, okay, here's your 6-week program. Do this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's so many variables I have to adapt to. Now, yes, can I create that program? I can create the generic. But for Yuri, I get to see where his head is at. So the first thing I want to point out is one is we need to identify what the goals are here, okay? Is the goal technique? Is the goal fitness? Is the goal balance? If I were training again for the Pro Tour, personally, I would not do this exercise. Okay. I would need to now go look at team and see how he's doing it and compare it to how Yuri's doing, but I wouldn't do it this way. What I would do is I would focus only on the movement and the technique without this plyometric step up. I think it's too many variables and kind of defeats the purpose of, I would treat things separately. Okay. So one is I would remove the step up and just have, I would have him work on back to front and make it more of a conditioning exercise. Okay. So for one, look at this. I want you to notice. So right here, see how he's looking down because he needs to find where to go. Right? Now, would you ever do that in tennis? So I need Yuri to make his move with his head like this and work on his movement with his head up, not looking down and trying to navigate a step so that he doesn't trip. All right. So number one, I would remove the step up and I would focus on this movement. So he makes the move. He should be looking at us and he should, right in this move right here, he should be practicing loading this leg right here. Instead, he's shuffling over because he needs to get over the step up. So this is defeating the purpose. He would not move like this in a tennis match. That's why I wouldn't do it. I try to make things exactly like as close to what it's going to be like in the match as possible. So I would just practice loading and then I would transfer the weight. I wouldn't wait this long right here. I would just transfer for a return. And then the thing is when he makes this move, he's going too far forward. So he should just make the move right and his foot should go down right there. His body's going too far forward on this. I know it's important to get the body weight to kind of shift forward, but he's going forward too much. Okay. The other thing I would do is I would have the follow through go further. So I like how his head's down and he's looking down. I like that. But then I would have the hand go up more for a bigger follow through. And then right here, I would square up with the outside leg. So I would work on back to front without jumping forward as much, and I would square up afterwards. And then I would recover back and split, and I would move to the backhand. And I would practice this back to front square up move and try to get the technique right. If you look at the forehand, you can see how the racket face really opens up right there. See how open that is? So I need him, that looks great right there, but he should get there right in the beginning over here. He should be here, and then when he drops the racket should be more closed. But right here, it opens up. No bueno right there. And then he needs a little more of a follow through, and then he can square up after. So I would refine the movement, and you could do side to side reps like this, or just do one side. You're still going to get a workout. You're still going to get the single leg balance from one leg to the other. Then when it comes to the step up, I would do like quick feet going up and down as quick as I can for my quick feet. That's how I would use the step up. Or I would get a weight and I would do Bulgarian split squats and put my back leg on it and go down. I wouldn't do the jumping over this while I'm trying to swing a tennis racket. I know team is doing that, but team is at another level and he has a coach that's making sure the form is precise. Okay? So that's my answer to that. We are well over an hour now just because we have so much to cover. Thank you for staying on the call if you're still with us. Yuri again. Good. So back to front on the step with balance. So I would just do it without the step up. You don't need to jump up to that thing. I'm not saying it's wrong, but right here, I would actually, you know, okay, great that you're dancing side to side, but if you're going to dance side to side, then actually do a split step. Do a split. If you're going to go side to side with your feet, then do a split, load, and transfer the weight, and then hold your balance. So I like that. Hold, balance. But just do it on the ground. You don't need the step up. Now, when you're finished here, the weight is a little bit forward, and you need to get the body to kind of turn to the right a little bit more. Okay. That's in my, I talk a lot about that in my Serve Return Secrets Mastery course and my Tennis Forehand Solution course. If you guys want that, send me an email and we'll work out something there because I want you to have access to it. I don't include in the gold membership, it's in the platinum. And then you're going to finish this swing a little more and you're going to be tilted to the right a little more, but this is pretty good. Just a little bit of more finish. I like the balance there. I like holding that. So you see how he's tipping this way? We got to get him to tip more to the right. Okay. But I like this drill, but I don't think you need the step up. Okay. And then we should get a split here. See, that split wasn't great. So we got to work on the split. So you're going. That split is weird. Like it should be like a wider split and a load and not like a step out. Like if you step out, you should be loading more, should be down more. Okay. So I hope that helps. Yeah, that's pretty much it on that one. Let's wrap up tonight. I'm going to see the questions. Thank you. You're welcome. Awesome. Email me again at jeff@tennisevolution.com if you want the hip opener exercises. I'm typing it in the chat again. If you want any of the premium courses, anything, if you want Winning Edge and you don't want to pay $397, which you shouldn't because you're a member, you're a paying member, I want to give you a steal of a deal. You're going to email me there. And then let's finish. So I'm going to share my screen and go through this real quick, and then we're going to wrap it up. You guys are awesome. Great questions tonight. Okay, so we talked about footwork. We talked about Winning Edge. Single Strategy Secrets, another mastery course. We have a ton of things you could be watching on patterns. So you could start visualizing patterns, how to beat the pusher, how to beat the serve and volleyer. I can get you access to this as well. Email me on that. But really, I'm trying to pick out the things you can be doing to be playing better tennis. Flexibility for tennis. And strength and mobility for tennis. If you want to improve your flexibility, if you want to improve your strength, if you want to improve your strategy, again, email me. But these are all the things you could be doing. You could literally be training like a full-time pro right now and pass your competition. Footwork, strategy, mindset, strength and mobility, in-home fitness workouts. If you need some in-home footwork, high-intensity training workouts, email me for those. I have some from the past. I'm going to make some new ones. I'm planning to make some new ones, but I have some others in the vault. I can get you access to those. And flexibility, like lots to noodle on, right? And now you're probably saying, well, Jeff, just give me the program. I understand. But like Yuri, I want you to try to think constructively, like how can I put together my own program? How can I share it with Jeff? Here's what I'm thinking. Okay. And then let's put something together for you that really gives you huge results that covers all the areas we talked about tonight. Fantastic. Amazing. What's your number one tip playing doubles and your partner is serving? Where do you stand at the net? I stand right in the middle and I close. How do you guess where the return is going to go? I don't guess. I just pinch the middle and I make them beat me down the alley 5 times or 3 times before I even change. All right, you guys are awesome. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the call tonight. I love the energy. I hope you got tremendous value. I will see you next month. And please email me if you want access. You want to talk about getting access to any of the courses, the hip openers. If you guys are struggling mentally going through this corona thing, drop me an email. I want to help, okay? We can get through this. We can actually be better on the other side of this. And we've got to have the right mindset. We've got to practice the right way of thinking to get through this. And I can help. So thanks so much. I want to help. You guys are the best. And I will see you next month. You guys are awesome. String tension, Yuri. Root 66, 66 pounds. I love to string it tight. When I was on the tour, I preferred control because I had plenty of power. Now I string a little bit looser. But I've always been in the 60s. I don't recommend it. Most people are in the 50s or even the 40s now. I was always been Route 66. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for your time tonight. We'll see you later.